as we can. Our Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you for this time that we can meet. We ask the Lord that you will help us to understand your word and let your word become so much a part of us. We thank you for the lessons we can learn from someone one night. But we ask the Lord that you will teach us further, enlighten us. And we pray, dear Father, that your word would truly be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, last week we studied about how we can affirm this love for the Lord. Sorry about the mix difference in message that I sent out yesterday. The reason was because Pastor sent us an email saying that we should not have fellowship groups today because it's the start of the holiday. Then after that, he sent another one. Sorry, oh, it's next week. So that's why I corrected. Okay. And we studied about this idea of affirming our love for the Lord. So it's not a steadfast love. Affirmation of one's love does not mean that he has become a steadfast love. It is genuine, it is sincere, it naturally comes from a deep appreciation of the Word of God and the benefits of following the Word of God. Okay, so the psalmist has grown a little in wisdom and understanding. He sought to restrain his feet from every evil way, and he sought to not depart from, the Lord's judgment. And this is something that we talked about, the idea of how the Word of God is sweeter than honey, right? And how when we taste the Word of God, it is something that is wonderful. And then we went on to talk about having a barbecue. And then also what milk tea, bubble tea and so on, right? During the week I saw a sign of a bubble tea store. Okay, I think I'll send it to you. I was so intrigued by it. Okay, I had a good laugh. Are you all getting it? Have you all got it? It's in your phone. You see it? The second time he spelled it correct, but the first time he strawberry. So this probably was designed by Tweety Bird. You know Tweety Bird? I thought I saw a putty cat. Okay, anyway, side issue. It was so funny when I saw it. How can this happen in modern day Singapore? Must be a Chinese owner. Okay, and then we talked about the idea of, not departing from the Word of God. And then that's something that we all want to think about. The challenge is to keep the Word of God and how we can follow through with that. Okay, now the next section in Psalm 119, we see how the psalmist is a bit more determined to keep the Word of God. So in Psalm 119 and in verse 106, read, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgment. Okay, so he's making a sworn statement. Okay, he's making a sworn statement before God. He swears that he's making an oath, and as he makes this, he declares this oath, he is confirming it before the Lord and before everyone that he's going to keep the Word of God. Okay, this is like a sworn statement. It's like a what we call in legal terms an affidavit. Have you all come across this term? An affidavit. A-F-F-A-I-D-A-V-I-T. Affidavit. Okay, so basically a sworn statement. Like, for example, when my mother passed away, one of the things in her will was she had some jewelry in the, you know, this in Cisco. There is this fixed deposit, you know, it's a box, deposit box, so-called safe deposit box. And my brother had to go there, identify all the items, and then give an affidavit to the judge that these are the items before we can actually open up the safe deposit box. Okay, so you know, basically it's a sworn statement. And so the psalmist was making this sworn statement. He confirmed it by taking this step of declaring it. Okay, I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgment. Okay. And this is something that's not to be taken lightly. Whenever you make an oath before you pass out, okay, when you have your passing out parade, you will make an oath before so-called the president or whoever is there. Right, you take an oath. You swear to that oath. And you have to follow through with it. Right, a teacher, any teachers here? Yeah, you make an oath also, right? Right, you make an oath to whomever is there. You have to sumpah. You have to swear. Right, and today's newspaper, there was a discipline master who was doing all kinds of horrible things, taking videos of you know, women and he is the discipline master of all the people. Right, I mean, he should be establishing the discipline in the school, and yet, you know, he does something like that. And to me, that is really horrible. And so the challenge is, when we make an oath or when we say something, do we follow through with it? Okay, and so we in this section, we see the psalmist making this oath. Okay, and it's very important whenever we come before God, whenever we say something, we want to make sure that we follow through with it. Okay, let's turn to Ecclesiastes 5. In Ecclesiastes 5, we see this very important idea being brought across. So in chapter 5, in verse 1, it says, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God. Draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of food." So the word sacrifice here, sometimes it is the expression that comes out of your mouth. Okay, in Psalm 119, if you go back to Psalm 119, that section, there's one part where it says, "Accept, I pray, the offerings of my mouth, the free will offering of my mouth." Okay, see? So here he brings before God, he says, "Rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth. Let not your heart utter anything hastily before God." You know, it's easy to utter things before God when at the spur of the moment, we want to make an oath, we want to say something. "Therefore, let your words be few, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. Okay, he who has no pleasure in fools, pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay." Okay, so to the writer, to Solomon during that time, when he was a bit wiser, you know, he made vows before God, right? And he realizes that, you know, it's important that if you keep a vow, you make a vow, you jolly well keep it. When you say something, you follow through with it. "Do not let your mouth cause you to your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in a multitude of dreams and many words..." So sometimes, you know, the best thing to do is don't talk too much. Sometimes when people talk too much, they say so many things. Along the way, they may speak that which is, you know, erroneous. Okay? It's vanity. But fear God. Now, I'm not saying that you don't speak. I'm not saying that, you know, it's not good to have fellowship before people. But the challenge is, when you speak before people, when you talk before people, do you actually follow through what you say? Right? Is it really part of you? You know, you say one thing, but you do another thing. Right? So last week I said, let's have a barbecue. Right? And my part is, will I follow through with it? Well, buying bubble tea for 15, 16, 20 people. One bubble tea is how much? $7? $5 to $6. Okay, let's say a good one, $7. 7 times 20, how much is that? 140. Just the bubble tea alone is 140. Oh, I just realized that. And then you have the honeycomb, which I say we will eat also. Honeycomb. And what else? It's cheese. Right? That's going to cost. That's not even touching the barbecue. Will I follow through with it? Yes. Because I said it, and we're going to have a sweet evening. You know the Burmese? They call December sweet December. Because it's Christmas time. And so for them, they will write on the floor, sweet, happy, sweet December. Because it's Christmas time for them. Right? And so, okay. If I say something, I will follow through with it. Okay? It's very important for us to do that. So here we see the psalmist. He is making an oath before God. And part of that idea of having this oath was, you know, he has received light from the word of God. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Right? And the psalmist was able to see the word of God in that context. You see, sometimes we just quote the verse, but we don't follow through with it. And if you really understand the idea here, is that the light that he has gained is with reference to how righteous the word of God is. Right? That I will keep, I've sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgment. See, if that is in the light of what he has written, can you see? That light, part of that light, has helped him to see the word of God as righteous. And he understood God's righteous judgment and he will swear to keep it. Okay, he will keep the righteous judgment. He saw the word of God for what it's worth and he confirmed it that it is and he determined not to stray from it. Can you see? Okay? Okay, do you have any questions you want to raise up concerning this? Now, is it easy? You know? I mean, you say something and then you want to follow through with it. Do you find it easy? Or you rather not say anything? Better to keep quiet. Better not to say anything so that, you know, nobody can fault you. What do you think, Marcus? Yeah. Okay, then you'll be quiet most of the time. But that's not also right, right? I mean, the Lord tells us that we should speak forth His word, we should encourage each other, we should edify each other. Right, I mean, if everybody is follow you in Bethany, everybody be quiet. I also be very quiet. I won't speak. Right, and if so much more as a teacher and a pastor in the church. If I follow that idea, okay, you know, we don't speak at all, then how? Who's going to speak? Who's going to encourage? Who's going to edify? You understand? Then on the other hand, if you say too much, you also can end up with error. So where do we go from here? What do we do? How should we approach this? Right? I mean, okay, let your words be few. Wow, few means, okay, hello, goodbye, thank you. That's it. And we are done. Right? What do you think? Elvin, do you talk a lot in your workplace? Not really. Okay. Okay, so should you make an oath before God? Say for example, okay, you say you are very confident about doing this, and in time to come when you get married, you are going to make a vow before God, your wedding vows. Those are vows. You are going to make a so-called oath before God. There will be witnesses. I will be one of the witnesses, right? For better, for worse, for sickness. In richer, poorer, till death do us part. Right. Sure. You must be very glad the roof is not here. Yeah, you better jolly well keep it and not run away. Or change your mind. Right? So what will help you through it, is it? I mean, so far you come for marriage counseling. Is it easy? Meaning? Yes. Why? Yeah. Why? 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 Because there are a lot of problems. Marriage is a very complex thing. If you don't follow the scriptures, if you don't follow the word of God, and you know people end up doing whatever they want, you end up with a lot of problems. And I think we all understand how marriage can go from a very good marriage to the worst of marriage, and you end up with divorce. Right? That's one of the reasons. And it's very challenging. Wait, tomorrow, Monday night. This Monday, eh? Yeah, you know, he won't be around. Following week, when he comes back, when we study 1 Corinthians 7, one of the words used there, it says, these will fall into affliction, tribulation, the word. And it's tough. Paul recognizes it, that it's not easy. Right? I mean, the psalmist also, he realizes that it's not easy to keep the word of God. Okay? I'm not trying to scare you, but partly also, yeah, I'm trying to you know, it's tough. In 107, it says, I am afflicted very much. Right? I am afflicted very much. Last night, I was with my godchildren, with Alex and Shua, and with my godchildren. And we were talking about, you know, Asher was vigorously asking many questions yesterday about the Bible, about life, about marriage. So he raised a question. He said, you know, why should we get married when there's so much problems in a marriage? You know, people don't follow, people divorce, people end up with all kinds of situations and problems. So why should we get married? Why, you know? And then he said something. you know, I don't understand. Why is it so difficult? And then the father and me, we all started laughing. You know, you started laughing. And then we told him, it's something you won't understand until you get married. And then he said, why the man, so on and so forth, you say, you know, it's difficult, it's tough. And then both of us laugh some more. And I say, you know, then we're trying to explain, because Shua was there. So we were trying to explain in such a way that that we will not offend her. But at the same time, trying to explain to him that it's not easy. It's not an easy thing. Right? Okay? And so for the psalmist, he went through much affliction. Okay, it's not an easy thing to go through much affliction. Verse 109, he says, my life is continually in my hand. What does that mean? My life is continually in my hand. What do you think that means? My life is continually in my hand. Interesting expression, isn't it? Anybody? Elizabeth? Does your mom call you Liz or Elizabeth? Elizabeth. Okay. What do you think? My life is continually in my hand. Okay. Partly. So when you are in control of your own life, what's happening? And then? If you are going through, like for example, facing enemies, like in verse 110, it says, the wicked have laid a snare for me, and you are holding on to your own life, what's happening? Okay. Huh? Yes. So in other words, this is an idiomatic phrase. Okay, it's a Hebrew idiomatic phrase. In other words, it means that his life is in peril. Okay, his life is in peril. He is still struggling, actually. He was in danger because he was still holding on to his own life. Can you see? And he was in much peril. And he was facing snares. And it was tough. See, when you go through really tough times, when you go through difficult times, you know, it's easy to fall away. When we are going through good times, fine. It's easier to walk with God. But when you're going through really tough times, it's easy to stray. It's easy to make mistakes. It's easy to, you know, do something like, for example, Joseph's schooling. Right? He said that he was a difficult period in his life. And then he took cannabis together with, what's the lady? Amanda Tan. Right? So there was a very wonderful article written by the sports editor and said, you know, let's give him a chance. Then the next day, another person wrote and said, you know, sure, we can talk about moments of weakness, but, you know, Amanda had the device. That means it's not something that was just for the moment. It's something that she's been taking. So should we just let them go just like that? Wow. In a moment of weakness? Or is just something that you go to when you are challenged, when you are faced with difficulties? Should you take drugs? You know, there was another article. This week, wow, I was just reading. There were many, many interesting articles. And one of them was about this lady by the name of, what's her name? Raina Smith. Rainy Smith or Raina Smith. And she was writing an article about how when she came out of university, she was on 7 drugs prescribed accepted, you know, prescription drugs because she was going through depression, and the psychiatrist gave these drugs to her. 8 different types of drugs. And that is very common now in America, right? Debbie, it's very common. Right? People turn to cannabis. People, you see, this is American culture. Okay? And that happens. People stray. People do other things. In Singapore, we'll be drinking, smoking, playing video games, whatever else people turn to. So that's the challenge. The challenge is, when we go through times of difficulty, what should we do? What is it that you do? Should we turn to these things? Should we turn to vices? Should we turn to other things that will soothe and comfort us? Or should we follow through with still keeping the word of God? To me, that is one of the greatest challenges of life. What do you do when the going gets tough? Right? What do you do? You know, it's something that we all have to consider and to think. Right, what would you do? Do you feel stressed what is it called? MOCC, is it? MOCC. Yeah. Sure. Sure. Yeah. Well, it's tough, right? It's not an easy thing to go through. So what do we do? How do we find that strength to follow through? And I mean, I'm, you know, this is something that I think everybody struggles with. What do you do, Matthias? How do you cope when you? Yeah, we'll do something else, isn't it? We'll avoid it, grow a beard, and nice, mature look. That's the latest trend, huh? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to me, so sure, that's the first thing we do. We avoid. I appreciate that you're on the same. Or what do you think? Okay, so we exercise, right? We try to cope with it. What else, Gabby? What would you do? Sure, talk. Reach out to someone, eat ice cream. You know, there was this lady that I found out years later after she left uni. When she was in uni, she would eat one tub of Haagen-Dazs ice cream every day. Every day. That was her coping mechanism. One tub of Haagen-Dazs. I was so amazed by it. Yeah, expensive. And she could afford it. Right? Her family could afford it. One tub. And she's not big. You know? She's slim. And she can afford it and still survive it. That's amazing. Oh, right. Okay, any questions you want to raise up concerning this? So what should you do whenever you feel down and you feel that strength is no longer there? You see, the psalmist, I appreciate what he did. Okay? So in, let's go back to Psalm 119. And we read in verse 109, he says, "My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts." Okay? So one of the things that he has done is that he has learned to have the tenacity of spirit to follow through with the word of God. Right? So the yet is important. Yet I have not strayed. Yet I do not forget your law. Okay? So here is, you know, he was in peril, yet he did not forget the law. They laid a trap for him, yet he did not stray from his precepts. Okay? So he speaks of the commitment to keep the word of God despite his challenges. And this was something that he had sworn to do. And he followed through with it. Right? In verse 111, we read, "Your testimonies I've taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." How did he learn to cope? Well, he went back to the scriptures. And one of the things that he did was that he began to treasure the word of God. The word heritage, he saw how the word of God is like a heritage. It's like a heritage can be compared to a national treasure. Okay? So the word of God was a national treasure to Israel. It was also a personal treasure for the psalmist. Okay, it was something that he sought to decide that the word of God was his heritage, and this was something that he would treasure forever. Okay? And the reason for this was that it brought so much joy to his heart. Does the word of God bring joy to your heart? And that's something that we should think about. You know, when you read it, does it bring joy to your heart? And it really brought joy to the heart of the psalmist. Okay? Verse 112. "I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end." So there was the tending of the heart to perform his word forever. Okay? So, one, there was the tenacity. Two, he treasured the word of God. Three, there was the tending of the heart to perform his word forever. Okay, and so he was more inclined to keeping the word of God. Previously, he inclined his heart to the word. Okay, in verse 36, "Incline my heart to your word." In verse 36. But now, he has sworn that he was going to keep the word of God. And he has now tended the heart towards keeping his word. Can you see this? And that's something that he sought to do. Okay? He was going to follow through with this. He swore it, and he was going to do it. Okay? And this is something that we want to do too. You know, in Matthew 5, he talks about how let your yes be yes and your no be no. Right? If you say yes, you wanted to do something, then follow through with it. If you say no, then follow through with not doing it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Okay? Anything less than that is from the evil one. Of course, this is a reference to the name of the Lord. You swear something before God and you use the name of the Lord, then follow through with it. Because if you don't, you will, the name of the Lord will be taken in vain. That's the idea here. Right? And then the evil one will take opportunity to create problems for us. So the challenge for us is, if we swear something, if we say that we want to do something, then let's follow through with it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Okay? Do you understand where this is coming from? And so for the psalmist, this was something that he did. Okay? Now, how did he do it? How did he do it? What did he do to be able to follow through with it? It's not in your notes. How did he do it? What do you think? Liping, how did he do it? He what? Okay, he determined. What else? He prayed. Yes, he prayed. Okay, he prayed, revive me, O Lord, according to your word. He prayed for revival. You see, when we are afflicted, very often we tend to become weaker. Right? Weakness will come when we are afflicted very much. And one of the things that we should do is to pray for revival. Revive me. Have you ever prayed for revival? Let's just be honest. We don't normally pray, revive me. Right? We pray for forgiveness. We pray for strengthening. But very often, we don't pray for revival. I don't normally pray for revival. But I have been, ever since I've been studying Psalm 119, one of the things that I've been doing is I've been praying, Lord, revive me. Okay? Look, in Psalm 119, in verse 81, we read of how he was complaining to God. My soul faints for your salvation, my eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? So he was complaining to God. For I become like a wineskin in smoke. Verse 84, how many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? Right? So he was complaining before God. So he was praying actually in a wrong way. He was praying, but he was praying wrongly. Okay? Then as he thought about the word of God, he prayed, Lord, help me. They almost make an end of me on the earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. In verse 88, finally, at the end of this section, he prays, revive. You see, he realizes that actually he should have prayed, revive me from the beginning. Right? He was complaining before God. So actually, he should have prayed, revive me at the beginning. But he didn't. Towards the end, he did. He realizes, I need to pray. Revive me according to your word, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. So that I may keep. He realizes that he really needs that revival from God. He needs that strengthening from the Lord to keep the word of God. Okay? So now when you come over to verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet. Why feet? Your lamp to my feet. In other words, why lamp to your feet? Have you been to a jungle? What's the first thing you do? In the night. Wow. Oh, wait for the moon to come up. Okay, but when you shine a touchlight, where do you shine first? The floor. Why? Huh?
I don't want to fall down.
Okay, you don't want to fall down. Right, but why, how are you not going to fall down? Light, you got to see where you are standing. Right, you are, the first thing, the light will shine at your feet. Your word is a lamp to my feet. In other words, he's seeing where he's standing. Is he on the safe path or is he on an unsafe path? Right? First, he has to see where he's standing. And then he shines forward. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the path here is with reference to, is it a safe and good path? There are paths that are good, there are paths that are not good. There are paths that are safe and there are paths that are not safe. Right? As you shine, you can see all these different paths. And so your part is, which way are you going to go? Right? There's a Christian song that we sing, which way are you going? Right? Children's song? Which way are you traveling? Right? So this is the same thing. Which way are you traveling? As you shine the light and you look at all the different paths, there's a path of cannabis. Right? I can take that path. And, you know, two so-called heroes of Singapore have fallen from grace because you have taken this path. Or is there a path of truth, light, wisdom, a safe path? Well, I hope Singaporeans will give them a chance and, you know, maybe something good will still come out of them. Right? But it's going to be very tough. One of the things that Pastor told me years ago, he said, if you can afford it, don't be in the limelight. Don't be in the limelight. Because the higher you go, the greater is the fall. And you know, there's a lot of truth in it. I've seen this happen many times. A lot of sportsmen. This has happened. You know, I've seen this in my own family. Of course, not Pastor Ma. Right? Other members in my family. This has happened to them. You know, the higher you go, the more famous you are, the greater the fall. And it still applies today for Joseph Schooling, for Amanda Tan, or anybody. You can be a great CEO, wonderful person. Next moment, you do something that's unscrupulous, you take the wrong path, and that's it. People find out you're caught. That's it. Your career goes down the drain. Right? I'm sure as an accountant, you come across things like that. Stories people have told you before. Yeah. And all of a sudden, that's it. Your whole career goes down the drain. You see, so light helps us to see which path are you going to take. Like where you are standing. Is it a path of truth or a path of falsehood? Are you going the path of that is safe or are you going to go the path that is risky and unsafe? So they took the risk. They took a risk. They thought that they were not going to be caught. But in the end, they were. Years ago, I read an article about how there was this couple who went overseas and they took drugs. Okay? And I think in France. And they came back months later, okay? Months later, and they were randomly asked to, you know, to give their urine. And in their urine, they found the drug. Months later. And they went to jail again. I was just reading the newspaper article that it is, if you take drugs, you come back to Singapore and then you are caught, they will treat it as if you have taken it in Singapore. Wow. So which way are you going to go? Which way are you traveling? Which way are you going to go? You can take the dark path or you can take the path of light. See, every day we make choices. Every day we think through things. Because that's going to determine what your path is going to be and how you are going to grow. Because if you take a wrong path, you make a wrong choice, that's going to stun your growth. That's going to affect you. And then you go back to square one, or worse, you regress. Okay, by now you notice that the psalmist, he is struggling. He is going forward. He takes 3 steps forward. He takes 2 steps backwards. Right, and he's going up and down, up and down. And it's something that is challenging for him. Okay, and this is something that we all want to be a bit concerned. Let me tell you why I'm concerned about this, okay? Let me be very honest with you. Actually, I've been thinking and praying about forming a YAG1 community. Okay? But it's very hard to form. Why? It's hard to form it because you're all peers. And because you're all peers, if I were to choose someone, that someone must contribute to your growth. And it's very hard to do if you have not grown exponentially. So I find it very hard to choose people to form this community. I will, hopefully, eventually. But that's my challenge to all of you. My challenge to all of you is to grow your faith. To develop your faith to such an extent that you can contribute. Because if you're all peers, and after a while, you know, if I'm going to select you, you're going to have problems. So I'd rather not have a comm at this point of time. I'd rather you all grow first. Okay, and if you are still around, next year, we'll see. So Alvin, sorry, you'll be up. You're going to be... But it doesn't matter, you see. To me, it doesn't matter where you go next year. If you are growing, it will be seen. It will be obvious. It will be obvious in your life. You see, I tell you what I'm looking for, okay? Let's turn to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, we see some criteria of what a deacon or deaconess is. Now, of course, I'm not asking you to be a deacon or deaconess. Okay, perhaps this is something you can think about in the later part of your life. But these are things that we should be looking for in terms of growing towards. How should we see ourselves? Maybe in 2-3 years' time or 4-5 years' time, right? Verse 8, it says, likewise, deacons must be reverent. Not double-tongued, right? You say one thing, you see the idea? You say one thing and then you do another thing. Not double-tongued. Okay? You say something and then you do something else. You are conniving, you are deceiving. So here is a deacon, he's not double-tongued. In other words, he's a man of his word. Right? Not given too much wine. Marcus, he goes and boosts somewhere on Sunday night and given too much wine. How am I going to select you? Or Ting Chie, he goes to army and then he goes with his buddies in the jungle somewhere in the middle of the night. And then he comes out with his own, I don't know, what do people drink nowadays? Right? Can that happen? I hope not. Drink a medicine, you know, go to the pharmacies and go and take whatever is there. Right. Not greedy for money. Wow, Alvin, wow, he hooks up all the books, he takes the money himself. Right. Holding the mystery of faith with a pure conscience. But let all these be first be tested. Let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent. Now, the word here, wives, this is in italic. In other words, the word wives is not there. In the Greek, it's more ladies. So this idea here, likewise, this is actually a better translation, would be a reference to the deaconess. Okay, the deacon, likewise, the ladies, be reverent, same, not slanderous, right? Women, they like to gossip. And then they go and slander other people. Right, Tricia? I mean, it's a very common thing. Not that guys don't gossip, like guys also gossip nowadays. But I mean, it's something that, right? Especially mentioned about for the women. Right? Likewise, their wives be reverent, not slanderous, temperate. That means self-control. Not a woman who is shouting. Just now, Pastor was talking at cat class. You were there? Were you there? How this woman was shouting. Where was it? It was at a restaurant, right? It was a restaurant that was shouting at a man, older man, who was taking the food at a slower pace. And this woman who serving him was shouting at the man. Straight away, he walked out. To me, one of the most scariest things is to see two women or a woman shouting and wanting to fight. Have you all seen that happen? Have you seen that? Huh? Scary or not? I'm very scared. I'd rather run first than go and face a woman and to fight with a woman. It's a very scary thing. I've seen this happen in Serangoon Central. Wantan Mee, the Wantan Mee woman used to be there. She sell wantan mee. Wow, one day she got angry with this man. I don't know why. She was just shouting. I was sitting there, happily eating my chai fan. And she came out. Maybe I didn't buy for her. That's why she's angry. She came out and she started shouting at this guy. And the guy shouted back. Next moment, she took the chair again. She took the chair and wanted to throw the chair at the man. Wow, everybody else, the other store owners came to hold her back, shouting, and the man ran. The man disappeared. And I was there, okay, I better eat. better quiet eat. Don't go and instigate anything. Oh, okay, I just eat. Everybody was quiet. Wow, it was scary. Temperate. Self-control, very important. Right? Self-control. Do you know how to exercise self-control? Can you see? Faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain themselves a good standing, great bonus in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you, how do you fare when you look at all these things? If there's something that you all want to move towards next, these are the things. Right? Should we consider serving God? Yes. Perhaps not as deacon or deaconess at this point of time. But how should we serve? These are the things we should look for. And you know what? Many of us are lacking these things. If there's one thing that you want to go towards, are these things. Grow. Grow in the Word of God. Develop your faith. And move on. Move on to spiritual maturity. Move on to the next stage. Move on to saying, okay, one day, you can be contributors. You can contribute. You can edify another person. And that person that you're talking to will listen and be edified. One of the hardest things is to be able to edify a peer. And I've learned to do that through the years. Teacher Alex is my age. He is some big CEO out in the world. Okay? And yet, he listens to me. I'm very humble about that. He listens to me. He says, Mitch, I listen to you. And I'm very humble about that. Taken me years to develop that kind of friendship and relationship. It's not easy to edify another person. It's not easy to edify a peer. And one of the things that your peer will look at, the person will look at your life, what are you like? If he looks at your life, you are a drinker, you are a smoker, you do all kinds, you know what? Straight away, you disqualify yourself. But if you have grown, and you have grown in terms of knowledge of the word, so it's not just having more knowledge, it's your life, it's your faith. That matters too. Sure, you can have all the knowledge in the world. You have superior knowledge in terms of the word of God, but your life is in a shambles. How are you going to make an impact? So yesterday was Teacher's Day. You know, there was, so I teach in a class, and the class said, okay, Happy Teacher's Day. And there was a men's group that I helped out to, and they also wrote, and they all said, you know, thank you. Thank you for the way that you have taught them. And I didn't expect anything. Teacher's Day, I don't expect anything. Right? Because to me, it's not important. But for them, they wrote, and they said, thank you for teaching. There was one man, he was the first one who wrote. Early in the morning, he sent a SMS to say, thank you. I know why. Because he would listen to me when I tell him. You know, he has a health problem. And I told him, you know, you better exercise, you better take care of yourself. And, you know, I would pray for him. Pray together. And he understood. See, sometimes it takes another man to talk to a man in times of need. And you've got to be there for that person at that point of time. And I appreciate that. Same thing. How can you make an impact? You see, it's easy to nominate. It's easy to choose a person. Can you really contribute to others? The only way is to follow through with the Word of God. You have to learn from the Word of God. You need to grow. Grow towards one day contributing in one way or another in the church, whether it is here or somewhere else. So at this point of time, I can't choose. I can't have a call at this point. I need you all to grow. I need you all to develop. Whether it's here or YPG2 next year, for some of you are going on. No, it's for you all to think through. I'm saying these things not to put you all down. I'm saying these things to push you up. Encouraging you, challenging you. Perhaps we all need to grow further. Right? And I know, I think you know yourself. You know within your own heart, you all need to grow further. You need to follow through. And then one day, contribute. Be a blessing. Here, YEG2, you look at, you know, so in YEG2, Pastor Mark can have a call because he has a very good group to work with. One, of course, the wife, Jinky, is there. So Jinky has been there at the YEG for the longest time. Jane is also there for the longest time. And so they can form a call and a few others who have been growing. Okay, so partly is also because it just started and you know all of you are peers. But you can do something with your life by choosing, by deciding, okay, you know, coming in post-age, I want to grow. I want to contribute to better me one way or another in time to come. Not just, you see, why PG is different. Why PG, you're talking down to younger ones. Salvation is a bit easier. But here at YAG, you are peers. You need to grow. And you know, you need to be able to edify others. Okay, see? That's it. Okay, any questions you want? Okay, if not, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray this afternoon that you will challenge our hearts, Lord, to want to grow, to want to follow through with the Word of God, to be people who will face whatever we need to face in life, and yet not forget your Word, not stray from your Word, but to be committed to keep growing, to keep your Word, to find that tenacity of spirit, where we will treasure your Word and we will incline our hearts to keep your Word. Turn our hearts to keep your Word. We pray, dear Father, that you will bless us and help us, Lord, to truly grow and take definite steps for the rest of this year. And we ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, I'll see you all this Friday. If you are not signed up, please sign up. And so are you going to come? Okay, if you all can come, if you can't, don't worry about it.